Chapter 2. Dawn was standing at the edge of the village, looking down the path leading into the jungle. She seemed extremely upset. Pete walked over to her and put his hand on her back. "What's wrong, Dawn?" Dawn momentarily glanced at Pete before turning her attention back to the empty trail.
"It's dark, and I sent Marcus into the jungle this morning."
She turned and looked at Pete with tears in her eyes.
"He's not back yet."
Pete smiled at her, then wiped the tears from her cheek with his thumb. "I wouldn't worry too much about him. He's probably sleeping out there just to get a rise out of you. He did that to Harry once. He was hidden 10 feet from him, and Harry never saw him." An ignoble smile slowly grew on his face. Dawn turned to look down the trail once again, with her worries slightly soothed. "Well, he did think I was playing a joke on him." Pete grinned and put his hand out. "Well, there you go. If he thinks he can win at something, he will go farther than anyone I know." Dawn turned and gave Pete a fake smile.
"But what if he is in trouble?"
Pete put his hand on Dawn's shoulders. "Look, it is too dark to head out there now. We could walk past him and not even see him, or step on him. If he isn't here in the morning, I will personally take you out myself to look for him. So let's go to bed and get some rest. I bet Marcus is." Dawn took another look down the dark path with her hand over her mouth.
"I guess you're right. I just have this feeling that something's wrong."
Pete put his arm around Dawn's back and walked her to her hut. And when they reached the doorway, Pete smiled. "Marcus and I will have some of the nastiest coffee waiting for you in the morning." Dawn tried to settle in for the night, not feeling very tired. She thought about what Pete said and how it did sound like a stunt that Marcus would pull. This satisfied her conscience enough to fall asleep. "Dawn, Dawn, wake up." She woke up with a start.
"What is it?"
Pete was standing there with a look she never saw. "It's daybreak, and he isn't around here anywhere." Dawn's eyes flew wide open, then suddenly she sat up.
"What? We need to go find him. Go get Garvin. He'll help us."
Pete had an urgency that couldn't wait. "I'm ready to go now. Garvin is out with that girl, taking pictures of flowers or something. I'll wait outside until you're ready." Dawn was a little bewildered.
"Where's your rifle?"
Pete looked down, frowning. "It's in my hut. I need to fix it." He looked up, looking somewhat happy. "I have my .44 mag with me." The second Pete stepped out, Dawn rushed around getting dressed. The fear flowed through her veins as she thought that she should have done something earlier. And her head was rushing with the thoughts of every possible thing that could have happened to him. She couldn't think clearly of what to bring with her, so she just rushed out the door.
"Okay, let's go."
Dawn and Pete searched up and down the path behind every bush and shrub for hours. "You know, Dawn, if I didn't know any better, I would say that someone wiped this trail clean." Dawn was startled, pointing her fingers toward an area they just searched.
"Hey, Pete, did you hear that sound over there?"
Pete looked at Dawn. "Yeah, I did, but I don't know what it was. Let's go find out." They searched for a while, but they weren't sure what they were looking for. It was more like a mechanical noise and not natural.
"What in the world happened to him?"
Dawn shouted, with her hands over her mouth as she looked at the rigid body lying contorted on the jungle floor with a white paste covering his body and crimson liquid oozing from it. The shaman sang a chant while dancing vigorously around him. He had in one hand a bundle of smoking herbs as he smudged the area, and in the other was a strange colored stick. He was waving both items over Marcus, dispersing the smoke over his body. He stopped what he was doing and stared at Dawn as soon as he saw her. He placed the simmering bundle next to Marcus, then stood up and turned to look at her intently and said plainly, "Do not enter the circle or disturb the fathers. It will disturb the magic and kill the chosen one." Then he turned and walked off in the other direction. Dawn sat on the ground next to Marcus, wanting to hold his hand, but she was too afraid to cross the line, fearing what would happen if she did. She looked at the perfect circle drawn in the soil, crystals with rainbow patterns flowing from the center, placed evenly on the line of the circle. Each one was sitting on a square leaf around Marcus.
"Please tell me that's not his heart."
When Pete arrived at the scene, he knelt down to investigate the stones and looked hard at the leaves and reached down to pick one up.
"Don't touch them," Dawn shouted. "The shaman said if you disturb them, he will die."
Pete pulled his hand back, looking intently at the mesmerizing crystals. "These are odd. I never saw stones or leaves like these before. What kind of plant are they from?"
"I was trying to find out. I found one last month and still can't figure out what kind of species they are. That's what Marcus was doing up here. He wouldn't believe me that it was real, so he was trying to find more."
She started crying, wiping her tears as she raised her hand and pointed to the large palpitating blob that was extruding from Marcus's chest, covered by a white cloth. She clamped her hands over her mouth and hurled herself behind the nearest bushes to conceal some of her outcomings. After a few minutes, she slowly dragged herself out of hiding. Pete looked at her with concern. "Are you okay? I know for a fact you've seen a lot more disgusting things than this, let alone put your hands in them." Dawn looked up at Pete with a look of despair.
"Yeah, but it wasn't a man. I'm a botanist, not a doctor."
She slowly wiped the left side of her mouth with the back of her hand. Pete was bewildered as he looked down at Marcus. "What happened to you, Marcus? It looks like something tore you up and tried to hide it. I've never seen anything like this before." Suddenly, he moved his head toward a gap in the leaves on the path. It appeared as if someone had just walked through it and left fresh tracks. Pete cautiously moved closer to the suspicious clearing, thinking there was no way it could be the shaman because he went in the other direction. Then he saw something of interest. "Look over here." Dawn approached Pete slowly.
"We really shouldn't leave Marcus lying on the trail like that, just in case an animal comes along or something."
Halfway through her sentence, she turned her head and looked the direction that Pete was signaling towards. "Come on, there's nothing that would be a threat to him, and we can't move him in the shape he is in. The Aborigines traveled this trail like it was a main thoroughfare, so let us do what we're supposed to do and study the plant life and find more of those leaves so we can save the world." Pete pleaded as if he was trying to nudge Dawn forward through the gap in the leaves, but she was frozen to the ground. She was appalled by the heartlessness of his words, but the look on Pete's face got her to move. Just behind the broad leaves of the thick jungle was a hidden opening that they would not have ever found if not for the ghostly figure being hidden so well. The clearing housed mammoth trees with large, square, vivacious, bright green leaves, and some were edged with a tinge of crimson. Every tree was perpendicular and evenly spaced apart. The rows were at least 400 yards long and 50 yards wide. The trees reached out to each other to form a perfect arch ceiling with their branches. The floor was laser-level flat from corner to corner in the center of the area with precision-cut stones of numerous colors and textures, unlike anything they had ever seen. Pete and Dawn knew that this was a special place and had a feeling it was a building instead of just an ordinary clearing in the jungle. And the light had a strange bluish-green tint coming through the trees. Pete couldn't believe how well hidden it was from the size. As he walked further into the arches of the enormous trees, he saw that a red substance was dripping on the floor at the base of the trees, making small pools around the stumps like protective moats. Don was watching Pete on his knee, looking intently at something on the floor.
"What is that?"
Pete squinted at the dripping crimson liquid. He bent down and stuck his finger in a small pool that had accumulated on the floor, studying it for a moment before cautiously sticking his finger in the liquid. He put a minute droplet on his tongue, then immediately spit it back out.
"What on earth are you doing?"
Don asked. Pete turned with an innocent look on his face.
"Nothing."
"You put something in your mouth again, didn't you?"
"No."
Dawn looked sternly at Pete with her hands on her hips.
"How many times do I have to tell you not to do that? Do you realize how many bacteria and toxins you could get by doing that? I thought you learned your lesson with the elephant dung."
Pete put his fingers in his ears.
"La la la. I can't hear you."
Pete couldn't fend off the glare he was getting from Don. "Okay, besides, that was an accident. I was trying to feel how warm it was to estimate how far he was, and I cut myself on something sharp." "That was entirely reflexive." Don shook her head with a slight smile.
"So, what did you stick in your mouth this time? And now you have it in your ear."
"That."
Pete pointed toward the pool on the ground.
"What is that?"
Pete stood there looking at the pool, shaking his head.
"I don't know."
Dawn folded her arms and pinched her lips.
"Then why the heck did you put it in your mouth?"
Suddenly, the hollow was filled with the sound of someone running, getting Dawn and Pete's complete attention. Harry pushed through the thick underbrush.
"Hey, you guys, you need to do something fast." "It's Marcus,"
Harry said, yelling as he fell on his knees.
"Why did this have to happen? Why?"
He began to pull at his hair.
"He was so young, so strong. What are we going to do? How are we supposed to get out of here without our leader?"
Pete walked over to Harry and slapped him.
"Snap out of it, Harry. You're over-dramatizing."
Harry slowly looked up, as though he had just had woken up from a daze. Pete then knelt next to Harry and patted him on his back.
"We know how close you were to your cousin, but you've seen him. The planes do any time, and there is nothing we can do until it gets here." "He's dead, Harry."
Dawn folded her arms as her nostrils flared.
"Can you be a little warmer than an iceberg, Pete?"
Harry was bewildered.
"Why are you talking about death?"
Pete turned to Harry.
"What are you talking about?
I always thought that you looked at the gloom and doom in everything." Harry shook his head, looking down.
"I suppose I do, but you have been cut up twice as bad."
He looked up with a panicked look.
"So we need to do something,"
Harry pleaded in an excited voice.